I'm Ray Dunaway. Diane Smith is here, of course. Hi, Diane. And we have Arnold Dean, who's going to stick around. And we promised Steve Morris that he could do at least 10 minutes of his old shift. So we decided to put Steve on here. And Steve, where are you now?
Pardon me?
Where are you now, Steve?
I'm in Los Angeles.
All right, and what do you do now?
Oh, I do a variety of things. I do commercial voice work, and I do some internet work and a variety of things. But it's just, I got to tell you, to hear, because I've been listening, to hear you, Ray, chatting with Arnold Dean and Bob Steele and Mark Davis, it just brings back so many memories of WTIC and the V for Victory at the top of the hour.
Right.
And the Big E.
Oh, there it is.
I was hired just before the Big E. And let me tell you something. When you're coming from a smaller radio station, as you know, because most radio stations are, and you come to WTIC and your second week working, you're there at the Big E. You're sitting there doing your air shift, and people are coming in, and one by one, and I was standing. I always like to work standing.
Right.
25,000 people walking through that Connecticut building, walking right up to you, looking you in the face, and going, never heard of him. It's just such a warm... No, it really was. I mean, it really gave you a sense of what it was.
Or the other line, Steve, probably was, when is Bob Steele going to be here?
Yes.
Steve, how long were you here? You were here in the 80s, as I recall.
Yeah, I was there from, I believe it was 81 to 85.
And actually, I should say, Steve and I have a history before that, because
That's
we
right.
worked together in Binghamton, New York, in
yes.
television. Steve, I was a weekend news anchor, and Steve was the weekend sports caster, who actually made me interested in sports, because he approached sports from the big picture, kind of telling a great story. And then I came here to Connecticut, and the next thing I know, he's in Connecticut, and it was great.
Yeah, we had a great time. How are you enjoying WTIC?
I love it. Thank you for your advice and saying I ought to do this. And also, your very helpful advice. I thought, Steve, he's an alum of WTIC. He'll help me figure out how to get my feet wet in radio at this, you know, esteemed station. So his advice to me was, pack some protein. It's a long show. You'll need something healthy to eat.
Yes.
And green tea just won't cut it. Okay, I understand.
And if Bob or Arnold makes a suggestion, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but...
Well,
no,
Steve, when you were here, you were really known for a lot of the comedy bits you did on the air. We should say that he has a background also as a stand-up comedian, and you did a lot of character work and a lot of political satire, too, that I always thought was very good.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise, I think, to folks.
Right,
I mean, it was
right.
with the music that we played coming out of Olivia Newton-John or whatever. But the thing I remember, I mean, the moments that you remember about it are surprising. You were talking before about Ella Grasso, and I remember driving to work one day in the early 80s and seeing people gathered on the street corner on the way to work, gathered on street corners, mm-hmm. like peering in windows and talking to each other on street corners in the way that people had described that people did, say, in the 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was, and when I arrived at work, I found out that the Challenger disaster
right.
had taken place.
I mean, that had to be a difficult show.
Yeah, it was, but what was amazing was that everyone wanted to call and wanted to talk about it, and that sort of, almost like a community group hug. And
right.
when you're at WTIC, that community goes all the way from the Sound up to Springfield and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, you know, it was just amazing. I mean, obviously it was a difficult day, but it... But the warmth of the people was really what impressed you when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we talked about whatever happened to be going on. Basically the thing that you know when you're doing midday, when I was doing middays at WTIC, was you're following Bob Steele.
Right.
Like, what did you do? Well, today I did this and that and the other thing. Oh, that's interesting. Are you the guy who follows Bob Steele? Like, yes, I follow Bob Steele. And pretty soon, when people ask you what you do, you just say you follow Bob Steele. You have a picture of yourself, like if Bob goes shopping, you follow. You know, wherever Bob is, you're going. You know, so
he just left here to go shopping, by the way, Steve. I think you follow him, yeah.
You said you had to leave at 10:15 our time, so you are going to go shopping.
Yeah.
Following Bob.
Steve, you I remember know, but... you did one stand-up show, and was it CPTV?
Yeah, we did. Did a couple of specials for CPTV, and Arnold was nice enough. How about this? I mean, Arnold was by then had already achieved you know, legendary status. I mean, he was in the pantheon. Bob was, of course, and still is, you know, the king of all kings.
Mm-hmm.
But then Arnold was in that pantheon. You still had to climb past a few clouds to get to Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Arnold Dean warming up the show. People come in, and they're sitting down. They're about to see this little thing that I had written, whatever. And Arnold is warming them up. And Arnold is saying things like, people want to know, are you going to be able to, will people be able to get this in Glastonbury? And he said, well, it'll come in on their TV, but I don't know if they'll get it. You know, it was great. I mean, it was just a very...
It was fun. You did a terrific job with that. And I often wondered, I am sorry, you know, we've lost so many good friends from here over the years. I just can't keep up with all of them. I've always wondered what Steve Morris is doing now.
Well, you know, I'm on work release, and it's gone extremely well. No, I did other work. I mean, I went from there to Los Angeles and did radio here, and have since been doing some radio, some television, and a variety of things. But the other...
Tell them where your website, your column is. He writes an extremely funny column that runs on a website.
Well... That's not exactly true anymore.
Oh, sorry. Well, it was a very funny column.
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. It's. The other thing I remember Arnold doing is, Carl Yastrzemski was coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sort of a sign. Was it a baseball card signing thing? A memorabilia thing? I don't know. Maybe he was just following Bob Steele. I have no idea. But, you know, Carl Yastrzemski was coming to town, and this is one of these people where before I was could speak coherently, and we're still learning that, Yaz was always... And Bob and Arnold found a way to make an excuse that we would do the interview together. And that was how I met Carl Yastrzemski. And that's, I mean, that to me is typical of the atmosphere at TIC. I mean, here's Arnold. He's, you know, he's the guy. I mean, he's the sports guy, and he's the guy. And I'm just going, Carl Yastrzemski's going, yeah, let's interview him together, you know. And it's just his way of being kind. And I asked him a question like, what's your favorite color? I mean, I don't even remember if I was coherent.
And did he have one, Steve? That's right.
But, yeah, that's right. But over the years, you know, you realize that kind of kindness and thinking about the other person is not all that common in the entertainment business. You'd be surprised.
Some people would, huh?
A little bit selfish in the entertainment business.
But that's the way it was here, and yeah. You know, and still is to a great degree. I think you'll be pleased to hear, Steve.
Steve, I want to thank you for being on. I know you have things you have to do, and I want to thank you again for joining us on this special day.
Thank you, Ray. Good luck, and happy 75th, and nice to be talking with you.
All right, Steve Morris from California, former midday guy here from 10 until 2. So it's 10:17 on WTIC. Dr. Laura is getting an hour off. More folks yet to come on WTIC. Arnold Dean's still around. And
we're interrupting her?
Yes, we are.
That's not unheard of.
And I wonder...
I didn't think she allowed any interruptions.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder if, in fact, she'll be calling sooner or later.
Why have you taken me off? That is not good. It is not...
anyway, 10:18 in the morning on WTIC. I haven't been scolded yet today.
I am Ray Dunaway. I am Ray Dunaway's mom. So
yeah, exactly. It's 10:18. I think I'm my parents' mom. It's 10:18 on WTIC. Back in a minute.
Saturday, it's UConn basketball. Back to back on WTIC News Talk 1080. First up, the men are at Notre Dame for a Big East matchup with the Fighting Irish. The action gets underway at 11:30 with Joe D'Ambrosio and Wayne Norman. Then we head to Seton Hall as the women take on the Pirates in Big East game number 2. Scott Gray and Randy Levine have the call. UConn back to back Saturday. First, it's the men in Notre Dame. Then the women take on Seton Hall. Right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hello, this is Lloyd Stevens Clark with more good news from science. If you suffer from back pain, arthritis, muscle strain, or cramps, here's a science breakthrough for immediate relief. Salonpas, S-A-L-O-N-P-A-S. Easy to apply, medicated time-release patches to provide immediate and sustained relief where you need it. Economical Salonpas patches are available in several sizes and won't stain clothes. Salonpas patches, pain-free, healthy lifestyles for millions of Americans. Salonpas at major chain drugstores, discount stores, and pharmacies in your area.
Thanks for the dance, honey. Our first dance in 10 years.
Maybe longer. I'm thinking of when we first got married.
You do have a long memory. It's great to be dancing again.
Thanks to Salonpas patches.
Funny how those pain-relieving patches help both your back pain and my arthritis.
If you suffer from aches and pains in muscles and joints, try Salonpas, the economical medicated patch for immediate and sustained pain relief. Relief from pain means dancing, tennis, what next?
Well, with Salonpas, I'm open to almost anything.
Salonpas at major chain drugstores, grocery stores, and pharmacies.
Maxwell House wonders, how will you make the most of the new millennium?
I will have more dinners by candlelight.
I will try harder to remember names.
I will learn to play the piano.
I will leave bigger tips.
I will teach someone about my culture.
I will be swept off my feet.
Just a reminder, from Maxwell House, don't let the next 1,000 years slip by. Make every day good to the last drop. You do your part, we'll do ours.
Celebrating 75 years of broadcasting. WTIC News Talk 1080.
You can drive all over town to have someone work on your car or truck. Why not save yourself the trouble and make one trip for everything to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers for quality care service? With the right people, right parts, and right prices, they won't leave you stranded. And neither will the cold cranking amps of a Motorcraft tested tough battery. Now just $59.95, including a 72-month limited warranty. That's quality care at your service.
MSRP, installation and taxes extra. See dealer for the price and details through March 19, 2000.
Did you know that it's important for a woman of childbearing age to consume enough folic acid? Find out at healthanswers.com. I'm Dr. Holly Atkinson, and healthanswers.com is a leading source of up-to-date, personalized, accurate health information. It's an award-winning site that's easy to use and understand. Visit us, and you'll learn that consuming folic acid can reduce the risk of spina bifida by 50 to 70%. Got health questions? Get health answers. Healthanswers.com.
We gotta get out of this place. Maybe it's the last thing we ever do. We gotta get out of this place. See, I had to get away and blow off some steam. I wanted to book a four-star hotel, so I went to Priceline.com. Name my own price. Now I'm getting red carpet treatment at shag carpet prices. Yeah, there's a better life for me and you.
Book your next hotel and save big. Log on to Priceline.com today.
I feel so stupid. And I didn't connect it. Steve Morris did what I think was probably the best George Bush and the best Ronald Reagan that I'd ever seen. That's Steve Morris, and he used to work here. He did the best Reagan I've ever heard in my life. Oh, my gosh. Whoa. It's pretty humbling to think of all the people that have walked through this place. One of them, of course, Arnold is out doing commercials at this very moment. He'll be back in just a few minutes, but, of course, Arnold and Lou have connections, and I just want to welcome Lou Palmer, who, of course, also was on ESPN, as I recall. Lou Palmer, good morning, and welcome.
Thank you, and good morning. How are you today?
And, Mr. Palmer, where are you these days?
I'm down in West Palm Beach, Florida.
How nice.
Doesn't that sound nice?
It is nice.
Mr. Dean is joining us again. He's just come back from the commercial broadcasting studio.
Hello. Hey, good morning, Arnold. Palmer. How are you?
How you doing, Lou?
Good, good.
Lou, you did UConn before UConn was... Was UConn 1A when you did it?
Well, football they were, sure.
Yeah.
And
Division I basketball.
Division I basketball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've always been Division I to my knowledge. But Lou, they used to play in the Yankee Conference, remember that?
That's true.
Lou and I, one of the first assignments that you had when you came here was we did the Hartford Knights games, and I was trying to explain before, because Diane was very interested in knowing how good a team they were and how much the following was. Those were terrific games. I don't know that I've enjoyed many sporting events more than I enjoyed minor league football, believe it or not.
Well, I agree with you, and we had that one magic year where they went unbeaten. That we had the famous Snow Bowl game over at Dillon Stadium against the Pottstown Firebirds. We went to some scenic places like Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness. Forget. Oh, that's great. Lou, how many people, or Arnold, either one, how many people would come to the Knights games?
Oh, we had good crowds. We used to fill Dillon Stadium, whatever that held, 10,000 maybe?
10,000 approximately, yeah.
Sure. Wow. And how many years were the Knights around?
I guess what, Arne? They were in two different leagues. I guess maybe 4 years.
I would guess 4 years, right on the money, yes.
They were in both the Atlantic Coast League and the Seaboard League, as I recall.
I think we stopped carrying them when they went to the Seaboard.
Yeah, but that's true.
As I mentioned before, and I don't know whether you're aware that Pete Savin died not long ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was terrific. He owned the team. And if the rest of the league had been able to keep up with and put the effort into it that Pete did, they'd still be around today.
Well, I have to agree with that. Yeah.
Now, Lou, in the years that you were doing the Afternoon Drive music show, what kind of music were you playing in those days, and what was the format like?
Well, we were middle of the road. Anything mm-hmm. with a quote-unquote backbeat was mm-hmm. pretty much verboten, as Arnold can attribute mm-hmm. and attest to. We pretty much stayed to... middle of the road recognized artists. We got sneaky every once in a while and, you know, got somebody in that was more modern. But
as we established earlier, I think when we were talking to Bob and some of the guys, you obviously had somebody in management listening at all times. So
at all times.
It was very difficult to sneak something in,
but
I would guess.
Let me also say, if anybody pushed the envelope, it was Lupin.
Well, not only listening live, but we had, and Arnold will recall this, of course, we had the infamous documenter tape, which recorded everything that was on all three media, AM, FM, and TV.
Bill Pierce is here with us, and he's nodding his head vigorously about this.
That's not too far in the past. That would only went away a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it originally was set up so that we could verify whether commercials went on the air or not, but our sneaky engineers used to record all of our bloopers. It recorded at extremely slow speed so that it could do 24 hours on all of the media.
Right.
And so we preserved a lot of the things over the years.
Lou, do you remember what some of those infamous bloopers were? I mean, people who are not in broadcasting probably don't realize this, but those kind of tapes circulate throughout the country in broadcast organizations all over the place. Do you remember any that stick out in your mind these days?
Well, there were so many down through the years. Things where we had about 2 seconds to get in a station identification on Channel 3 television when we were live booth.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the call letters just got messed up a little bit over the years.
I'll give you a couple where I talk about Lou pushing the envelope. We used to simulcast on AM and FM the Metropolitan Opera.
Milton Cross.
Sure. And we had two staff announcers on duty, one for AM, one for FM,
right.
Although the break was WTIC AM and FM, of course, since
right.
we were in both. So one time Milton Cross, and Lou said, I'll take this break. You did the last one an hour and a half ago, you know, as we're splitting up all that work. So he heads into the studio, and Milton Cross says, this is the Metropolitan Opera on the National Broadcasting Company. And Lou came back, and this is Hartford, WTICA.
Well, he rolled his R's, and as I recall, Milton Cross was from Brooklyn. And so you would hear Metropolitan Opera Radio Network.
Hey, Lou, I figured that was going to be the end of Lou Wild today.
And I thought I said WTIC Broadcast House.
That's it.
You remember we did about a 5-man station break during a Red Sox game once?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on a second. Somebody wants to talk to you guys just for a minute.
Sure.
Met Steve on his car. He was at the infamous Snow Bowl. And Steve, hi, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Thanks for calling.
Sounds like you're having a blast.
I hope you are.
Yeah, I am enjoying listening to you.
All right, tell us about the Snow Bowl. You were there?
I was there. I was a young boy, and my father took me to the game. And I remember being up on those bleachers in this blizzard. We had a thermos of hot chocolate that we couldn't even drink because we were just so cold. And it felt so hot trying to drink this hot chocolate. But,
well, that was a cold day. And it was midweek, as I recall. I think it may have been even on a Monday.
Yeah, because I think they snowed it out the first day.
Right.
And remember, $10,000 in the field decorations and so on under a foot of snow.
And you didn't get...
We kept wondering how those Pottstown Firebirds wideouts were making such ballerina type moves out there, and then we found out they were taking the studs off their cleats.
Yeah, so that the screw was out of the bottom of the shoe.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my!
Our guys were. I remember during the game, I said, "Lou, I cannot understand it. Why can't the Hartford Knights stand up out there? The Pottstown guys are all running around like it's a bear field, and the Hartford guys are slipping and falling every place."
Steve, sure, I want to thank you for your call. Fellas, I'm going to take a short break. I want to come back to the five-man station break. I find this intriguing, Lou, and I'd like to hear a heck of a lot more about this.
Okay.
And we'll hear more
from Bill Pierce, who's been here for a long time. In fact, I've been here twice.
Well, I've been here twice, so you put the two together, it's been almost 14 years.
All right, we'll take a short break, and we'll be back. WTIC News coming up next. Dr. Laura is on at 11:05. Arnold sticks around. Bill Pierce is here, and Lou Palmer is with us. We may have more. Diane Smith, obviously, and myself, Ray Dunaway. Good morning. 10:30, time for the latest WTIC News with Angela Dias. Angela.
Ray, officials in Philadelphia reportedly believe all workers have been rescued now, alive, from the rubble of a recital hall under construction, which partially collapsed this morning. Connecticut officials are fielding numerous complaints related to the spike in oil prices. A Milford Superior Court judge today hears testimony in the trial of a Wallingford man who claims a Prozac overdose caused him to go on a crime spree. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 10.55. The NASDAQ is up 40.97. From the WTIC 24-hour traffic network, if you spot a backup on state highways, give us a call on your cell phone at star 1080. WTIC New England Weather Service forecast, morning sunshine, then mostly cloudy this afternoon with highs 38 to 43. Right now in downtown Hartford, it is 35 degrees. I'm Angela Dias, WTIC 1080 News.
Is there a Cinderella in the house? Well, let's dream of a Cinderella weekend. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Floyd Richards.
And Bob Tuehl.
Welcome you to a grand Monday of our Cinderella show. Both of our rooms here are filled with Cinderella patrons, and four of them are on our Cinderella stage, all ready to compete for that grand title of being our Monday Cinderella.
And there you are, and we're the Thursday Cinderellas here.
Now, that was a program where people could win a weekend away in New York, I believe, with limo and all that sort of stuff.
Was that a precursor to the fabled Queen for a Day, which turned out to be one of the most nauseating shows ever on television?
I can't say for sure, but it certainly sounded like it.
I mean, seriously, anytime people think standards on television have dropped, all you need to do is pick up a copy. There are old tapes available of Queen for a Day. And if you think it's tasteless now, Lou, I don't want to get into TV, but Lou Palmer is here. Lou, of course, did a number of sporting events for us, did an afternoon drive music show, did UConn football, basketball. You remember Queen for a Day, right, Lou?
Oh, sure.
And it was Was it
Jack Bailey?
Oh, one of these just oily as could be. And the guy would sit here, and these poor four women would get out there, and the one that was the most pitiful would win a prize.
However, I don't remember Cinderella Weekend. I've heard about it, of course. It's TIC lore. But I don't remember it.
I think,
actually.
Diane, your parents won it once.
No,
and
really.
You're saying that's why I was born in New York?
That's exactly
okay.
Right. They liked it so much, they decided to stay.
You know, second prize on that was two weekends.
Oh, exactly right. So, Lou, I mean, this what I think is intriguing when I talk to a lot of the folks who have been here before is that it was certainly not necessarily an age of specialists. Everybody, for example, they talk of the staff announcers. Was that how you were hired?
Oh, yeah, we were all staff announcers, and as I recall, at one time, we had 17 staff announcers.
And what would happen, Lou, is I assume you would be given different assignments.
Yes. In one particular day, or in any given day, you would be in all three media, television booth, FM, and radio.
I see.
I think the sweetest job of all, Lou, and one that I always wanted, was to be a booth announcer on television.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, Lou, you sit there, you're in this little cubicle, usually, right?
Yes.
You have a copybook ahead in front of you, have a little reading light and a microphone.
About every half an hour, you gave the call letters.
And you'd go, WTIC, what was the break you used to do on TV? How did it go?
This is WTIC TV, Channel 3, Hartford, Connecticut. And we also had Broadcast House in there, too. So squeeze that into 2 seconds once.
And occasionally you would have to read live commercials.
Oh, yeah.
On television.
I remember doing one, I think Arnold will remember this. We had one of those, I guess you'd call them infomercials nowadays, but we had one for a chinchilla farm, raising chinchillas, and it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We used to have a night guard who took note of every call that came in and logged them all, and I'll tell you, that switchboard lit up just like a Christmas tree.
Wow.
It was incredible at 2 or 3 in the morning.
You know, it was the other thing, this is a great story. I don't know if you remember WABC. Well, it's still around, of course,
sure.
In New York. But one of the greatest stories I ever heard about WABC, and talk about an age of specialists. This is back in the 60s when I was at Trinity. But the station you listened to was WABC, in addition to TIC and POP and DRC. But that was the big city. And I remember listening. They'd go, the most music on 77 WABC. Apparently, there was a guy, a staff announcer, who once an hour would walk in to the studio after WABC, and he'd go, WABC, New York. And that was it.
And I'll tell you, one of those was Milton Cross that we talked about.
Who, of course, rolled his R's.
Exactly.
Hey, I have someone, this is interesting, Lee. I have Lee on the phone here, Lou. And Lee apparently was, in fact, Cinderella for a day. Lee, good morning.
Good morning.
You, in fact, were a Cinderella for a day.
I sure was.
Tell us when and where and how it was.
Well, up a million stories in the Travelers Building, and we had to cross our fingers and wait for a name or number to be called, and I fortunately was called, and there would be four of us competing, and the questions were really on the hard side, unless you were knowledgeable in one direction.
So this was beyond Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That's right. It was similar in those days, because you had to know what you were doing. But I have to tell you that I also won the Cinderella Weekend.
Mm.
Now, that was something. That really was. We were given an outfit, and down from Ethel Jakes, I think I remember, and also the accessories. I had a lovely gold necklace and bracelet, and then you could bring your husband to the weekend.
It's a good idea.
So we went down, and it was really Cinderella for the weekend.
Now, you would go down, did you take the train, or did you get to New York?
We took the train.
Okay.
We took the train down, and we were met at the hotel. Please don't ask me what hotel.
That's
I can't remember.
Okay, we
were. We were met at the hotel, and there you would get the Cinderella Weekend ladies from all over.
Wow. Great
and,
show.
Oh, it was really a Cinderella Weekend. They had the thing so that you were doing something every minute almost.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
A few things I can remember was one dinner at the Press Box, one dinner at Peachtree Inn, dancing lessons at the dance studio, and of course, your husband could participate in the dancing lessons, but sorry, my husband was a sports person.
Oh.
So there you are.
He went out and looked around, and at that time, our two daughters were very small. He purchased gifts and things, and then came back when this lesson was over.
Lee, I unfortunately, I'm going to move on, but I want to thank you for being on. It's a pleasure to meet you once again, and
what
I hope you have
a
marvelous marvelous week
thank
and weekend.
That.
Thanks for being on.
And you know, those were two dear friends that you just heard on there, too. Floyd Richards, Hap Richards, and the late Bob Terrell, who was our vice president general manager when I was there.
But Bob Terrell was the guy who got, was it Al Terzi in trouble, wasn't?
Well, no, it was his office that Terzi was relaxing in one day. We told that story when Al was in here earlier today, Lou.
Oh,
and,
that's funny.
Yeah, the cleaning woman apparently reported that he was seated up on Bob's sofa watching TV, very casual comfort. You know, we also had Bob Schirago on, and somebody asked, I think Ray said, what was it that you did here? And I said, full-time, he tried to break up the announcers.
Now, that's true.
And I said, particularly on weekends. And I told some of the stories about what he would do to get us. But I think the funniest one that I can ever remember was when you did, what was it called, Saturday Showcase?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and you had, it was a two-voice commercial, and you and I were the voices of Tunks's
right.
Plantation Golf Club.
Tunks's Plantation.
And you remember this. We had a continuous loop of a tape. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
The tom-tom, right. And you had an opening line. I had one line, and then the rest of it was you. We were supposed to do it like Native Americans.
Right. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
And we were both in a pretty silly mood anyway. So when we heard the tom-toms, never having heard this before, we were both right on the edge. I think they must have gone for 40 seconds.
Easily.
Before Lou gave his line, followed by 40 seconds before I delivered my line.
Mine we were was, both on the floor at that time.
My line was something like, come from golf course, or something really clever like that. And instead, all I got out was, boom, 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 boom. And at that point, it's another 40 seconds, and Lou finally said, get out of the... Oh, no, he went back on the air one more time. You opened your mic and said, I don't believe it.
Really? You recall, did you tell him the Brad Davis story?
Which one?
We used to do a show on Sundays, and all of us took our turns as staff announcers in doing this. So we call it General Christianity or General Religiosity show called Hymn Time.
Yep.
And, of course, the fun of radio is that people can't see you and breaking each other up. And I recall that Brad, who really used to take this seriously, schmaltzy, may I add, there was some copy that he had to read while this hymn was playing in the background. And out came, "Thank you, God, for this new day in my life." And at that point, Arnold was in the adjacent engineering room, and you could hear right through the transom, and what he said was, as soon as he heard Brad say, "Thank you, God, for this new day in my life," I think Arnie said something like, "You're welcome, Brad. I always listen to your show when I'm hungry." You remember that one?
Make air?
Broke all the rest of us up, but it didn't affect Brad. Boy, he was.
No, he
did it make air? Did it hit the air?
I don't know whether you could hear me on the air. I don't think so because I didn't get fired.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
How about that 5-man station break?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that one to save the best for last. The 5-man station break, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure. All right, we had five guys. You know, you would staff either AM, FM, or TV, so that meant we had at least three bodies on hand, and then were two guys that were reporting in for their late shows or finishing up their early shows. And we were in a Red Sox game. We used to carry the Boston Red Sox. I don't know if the station still does.
Yes,
do they?
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, at any rate, we had five guys sitting in the AM radio booth, and they threw it to a commercial or threw it to a station identification, and we decided to do it one letter at a time. One guy said W, another guy said T, another guy said I, and on it went. Doug Webster, I remember, was involved in that. Who else? Norm Peters, myself. I forget the other two, but, that was a lot of fun.
As good as WABC, New York, and now I'm done for the hour.
Yeah.
And we should mention that Lou, after he left WTIC, was one of the pioneers on the air with ESPN.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I saw him on the anniversary show.
They show that one clip over and over.
Yeah, that's it. 10 seconds of me. Incidentally, the Dick Clark Show is going to show that that same 10 seconds of infamy on the 27th of this month at 7 o'clock Eastern. Plug, plug.
Hey, Lou, thanks for being on.
You're welcome, you. And I really enjoyed it, Ray and Diane and Arnold and Bill and Bob and whoever else is around.
Well, Joe D'Ambrosio, the current voice of the Huskies.
All right, Joe.
Walked in here, so. Lou, take care of yourself. Thank you.
Take care, Lou.
Okay, good talking to you people.
All right, 1046 on WTIC.
Hey, guys, want to really impress your Valentine this year? Do something different and surprise your sweetie by sending her a Bear Graham gift from the Vermont Teddy Bear Company. She'll receive a beautiful bear handcrafted in Vermont and personalized for her with a romantic card and chocolate, all shipped in a great gift box. Just call a friendly bear counselor at 1-800-829-BEAR. They'll help you choose from over 100 bears like the Cupid Bear, the Love Bandit, or the lover boy bear with a heart-shaped love tattoo on his arm. Instead of sending flowers, send the Vermont teddy bear, which she'll love forever. It's a more personal way to express your feelings, and you won't believe the reaction you'll get. Here's a tip. Send her bear to the office so that everyone at work can see how thoughtful and romantic you are. Women love that. Overnight and Valentine's Day delivery guaranteed. Guys, this is a sure thing. So call now, 1-800-829-BEAR. Or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. Send a Bear Graham gift for Valentine's Day or any occasion. The creative alternative to flowers. That's 1-800-829-BEAR.
LendingTree.com is turning the tables on the loan process. Now, rather than going from bank to bank in search of the best deal for your mortgage or home equity loan, you can have over 90 banks and lenders actually competing for your business. You simply fill out one form, then within hours, you'll receive up to four great offers. It's easy, it's free, and let's face it, it's better. LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information and state license disclosures, please visit our website located at www.lendingtree.com.
Everything's on the front burner today. Documents need to be printed, scanned, and faxed. And reports need to be collated. Everything is ASAP. And someone is screaming for color. And you know what? You're cool as ice. Find out how Ricoh Officio Digital Solutions make your network work. 1-800-63-RICOH. We're in your corner.
Here's a message for all you people on the go. Let's say you're somewhere between Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and the middle of nowhere, and suddenly you want to access your email. You're out of luck, right? Not when you have the BlackBerry wireless handheld device and internet service from RCN. Together, they give you access to your email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from virtually anywhere in the United States. And best of all, you'll need only one email address for both your PC and BlackBerry. One address that you can access wherever you go. And with BlackBerry, not only can you access your account, you can send, forward, and reply to your email messages too. So get the BlackBerry wireless handheld for one low monthly price, which includes unlimited RCN internet access. Then, whether you find yourself in Walla Walla, Washington, or if you're simply stuck in traffic, you'll be glad you have BlackBerry in your pocket. Just call 1-800-RING-RCN to sign up. That's 1-800-RING-RCN. Call today. This offer won't last forever. 1-800-RING-RCN.
Celebrating 75 years of service to the community. WTIC News Talk 1080.
Can I offer you a little advice? If you plan to buy a diamond this week or this month or anytime soon, buy that diamond now at Hanoush Jewelers. This is the month when Hanoush puts every piece of diamond jewelry on sale. No exceptions, nothing held back. You'll find gorgeous diamond solitaires in every size, shape, and setting imaginable, priced direct from Hanoush to you. Diamond tennis bracelets are on sale. Diamond earrings and pendants and bands and romantic heart jewelry. If it comes with a diamond, it's on sale. That's value made simple, as only Hanoush can deliver. When Hanoush puts its name on a diamond sale, it just doesn't make sense to wait. Buy your diamond today at the one place where you always pay less and never settle for second best. Hanoush Jewelers. In the West Farms Mall, the Manchester Parkade, the Buckland Hills Mall, the Brass Mill Center Waterbury, at 95 Elm Street in Enfield, and in other major malls.
...10:50 on WTIC. I'm Ray Dunaway. Diane Smith, of course, with us. Bill Pierce from WTIC News. WTIC News Director, as a matter of fact. Of course, Arnold Dean, and kind of in the background, and yet if he wants to jump in at any time, Jody Ambrosio.
I just want to say that I was at the game, much like the caller, snow game.
You were there?
And I had, well, I grew up in, I'm a Hartford guy, so I listened to Arnold growing up as a kid, which he really hates hearing since we're only 5 years apart age-wise.
Yeah.
And I had my little transistor radio on listening to Lou and Arnold do that game.
Wow.
I left at halftime. Of course, the game was a blowout. Pottstown was just killing the poor Knights. But a lot of people would go to those games before it became popular with transistor radios on to listen to Arnold and Lou because they were so good doing games.
Wow. Lou was a terrific analyst. And we're blessed with good ones right now, so I'm not saying anything about that. But this is a few years ago, and he just was super as an analyst.
Let me bring Bill on for a minute. Bill, you kind of have a split history with WTIC.
But, I mean, I've been here for the better part of the last 16 years, with a little time off in between. And
for good behavior.
Yes. Sort of.
That's a nice way to put it.
Thanks.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
I've never heard it put that way, but I guess that's the optimistic way to look about it. But, I mean, I've done a lot of things here, and I've been a listener to this station basically all my life, even as a kid.
Yeah.
So I was telling Diane off the air before, I mean, we would not listen to this radio station for the kind of music they were playing then, and that's what your parents wanted to listen to. But the one thing that I always listened to this radio station for was for the news and the sports and the weather, and it was better than anywhere else. And so I would listen to WTIC a lot. And I was one of the listeners to, not to the Snow Bowl game, but a lot of those Hartford Knights games. For minor league football, it was exciting. And for a while, weren't they affiliated with the Packers? And that was at a time when the Packers were the team in football.
No, you know what, Bill? They used the Packers uniform.
Right.
And they also, Fred Wallner was the coach, and he passed away not long ago, mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say. But they emulated the Packers, and they did it the same way Vince Lombardi did. In other words, okay, guys, we're going to run a power sweep right. See if mm-hmm. you can stop it, which is pretty much what the Green Bay Packers right. did under Lombardi. And they just did it so flawlessly that you couldn't stop them. And they looked like the Packers, really. And I bump into some of the players every now and then, and so, they were just a super bunch and some terrifically talented players.
One of the people, and part of the fun of doing this is seeing people that, of course, are have made this station what it is. One of the sad things, though, is there's kind of a subtext, and it comes up once in a while, is some of the people who got this station here. And they're no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Mitchell, for one.
Yeah.
I can think of any number of people.
Alan Sagel.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, really good quality.
Oh,
Walt Dibble.
Great.
Yes. Walt, you know, Walt, I mean, yeah. greatest guy in the world. Another one was Ross Miller, and we did mention Ross the Boss a couple
he
of times.
He was the guy who hired me, Ross, and just what a dear, dear man.
One mistake.
That's right. That's the only one
you'd ever done.
Billy mentioned being kids, and we're the same age. The thing is, you'd listen to TIC early in the morning, and then you'd get home from school, and your parents would have, your mother would have Mike Line on.
That's right.
Listening to
that's
Mike
right.
Line.
There you go. Right.
1 to 3 every day.
Oh, yeah. I used to listen to that when I was sick.
To.
I'd be homesick. That's Mike Line to be on. It was a bizarre program.
What kinds of things they did? What made it so strange?
Well, it was
ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was almost like our tag sale type of show. Yeah, it was a tag sale plus other information.
Well, hang on a sec, guys. I want to go back just for a minute talking about Ross. David Wilkinson is with us, and David, of course, was a producer. He became assistant program director under Ross the Boss. And David, I want to thank you for being on.
Hey, thank you, Ernie. Bill Hansen was here with me for a while, and then he had to run on home. His wife's not feeling well.
David, how are you doing anyway?
I'm doing great.
We had lost touch with Bill Hansen. Is he with you out there now?
Bill has been with us for 10 years. After he was in Hartford, he went to Voice of America for 9 or 10 years. And then he retired from there, and through a mutual friend, I knew he wasn't all that happy in Washington, and I offered him a position out here, and he's been with me in Kentucky for, say, 9 or 10 years. He just retired again, but he's working on contract part-time.
That sounds familiar to me. The first person I met when I came here for my audition that day, Ray, was Dave Wilkinson. I was in the third floor lobby, which is the main lobby for Channel 3 now, and I was waiting for Ross Miller, with whom I had the appointment, and Dave came in and said, I'm Ross's assistant, also a Syracuse guy, and we sat down and chatted a bit.
I forgot about the Syracuse connection.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Why did they lose one?
Yeah.
David, let's go back. You were, I think you were hired in 1960, and you were there until, 16 years later, 76.
Yeah.
You probably were there as, obviously, the world was changing, and so did WTIC. And how did it change from when you came to when you left?
Well, I, too, grew up with TIC. I was born and raised in Hartford, and Bob Steele, I think, was hired the year before I was born.
Right. Okay.
So,
okay.
I wasn't there to witness his arrival. You know, it had changed considerably by the time I started working there in 1960. I remember going to programs in on the sixth floor of the Travelers Building, you know, Quiz of Two Cities with George Beau.
And that was a show that pitted people from Hartford against people from New Haven?
Hartford and Springfield, basically.
Oh, okay, I guess it started New Haven and then eventually became Hartford and Springfield.
Yeah. Hmm. And George Beau was there and Bunny Mullins. Bunny Mullins was the one who hired me. And going there, I remember going up to dramas, plays that they would produce. They had their own theater company, was the Cowboys, was Doyle Dell and some of that group. And then they had a couple of orchestras going, full-time musicians and full orchestras working.
Right.
And when I joined in 1960, the strange little deja vu thing about the whole thing was the production office for radio and television was happened to be directly in the middle of the studio where all this stuff had taken place previously. We weren't doing that kind of programming anymore, but we Mike Lyne, you mentioned Mike Lyne, and Arnie remembers Miracle White, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was Miracle White?
White was a miracle. It came in a bottle, you sprayed it on something, it cleaned anything, and it was the greatest example of forced marketing in the world. They didn't have any distributorship, and they started advertising on Mike Lyne before long. Every store in New England needed it.
While Dave is on, do I have just a minute?
We've got a minute, yeah.
Okay, let me tell you a story that epitomizes what WTIC was in those days, and this will sound very familiar to you as we talk about it. Bruce Kern was a longtime veteran, did the 6 o'clock news on TV. Bob Ellsworth did the 11 o'clock news on TV, used to end up with a salute, many people will remember. Elsie had been with the company for about 10 or 12 years at that point. And one day, I walked into the studio, and they told me that Bob Ellsworth had given his notice. He was going to leave after 12 years or so. My first responsibility was to go to the TV booth and relieve Bruce Kern, who had been with the station, 25 or 30 years at that point. So I walked in and said, "Hi, Bruce." He said, "Hello." And I said, "Gee, I'm surprised to hear about Elsie." And he said, "What about him?" And I said, "He gave his notice today." And he went, "I always knew that guy was a floater." 12 years and he was a floater from job to job.
David, I just, in about 30 seconds, I know this puts you on the spot, but is there anything in particular that you remember?
Oh, there's too many things. I remember Hootenanny Roadshow and Brad Davis and a lot of the specials we did. But I guess basically I remember the thrill of working in the station that I'd grown up with and working with the professionals that had always been my heroes and working with a bunch of good people. And hopefully some of that has been able, I've been able to carry that into public broadcasting and some of the stations that we run here.
David, thank you for being on.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, David.
All right, well, guys, that's about it for us. I guess another 75 years.
This has been fun for me to be able to reminisce.
Of course, Arnold's a floater, so he probably won't be here for the 75th.
Well, you just wait till that restaurant opens.
I just think, boy, does that sum up this place, huh?
Yep. Conversely, I was working in Dallas one time, and they wanted to hire me at a station in Fort Worth, so this kid that I'd taught in graduate school called me up and said, "Oh, yeah, I really want you to come over. I'm working here." He said, "This place is really stable." I said, "How long have you been here?" 3 months. So the business has changed. Jody Ambrosio, thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you. Arnold, what can I say? Bill Pierce.
All right, Ray.
See you soon. And Diane, I guess we can come back and do this tomorrow. Tomorrow.
The Antiques Roadshow Primer. We have a wonderful interview with Penn Jillette.
And
we're going to meet the actress who plays Sally Hemings in the CBS miniseries, Sally Hemings and American Scandal.
Right. Bob Joyce, thanks for putting this together. See you tomorrow morning.